Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the second day of November 2023. I'm your host, Mark Call, and let's start off today with a quick World War III update. We could literally spend the whole hour, and we don't have an hour, talking about just the lies surrounding the latest escalation in the World War III head towards nuclear Armageddon. Just remember, folks, truth is the first casualty of war, and there's no doubt that that's being proved literally time after time each and every day. But this story from Hal Turner's radio show says Hezbollah in Lebanon has issued what many people, he says, believe is an ultimatum to Israel. Now, this one at least is interesting, and I always find it kind of fascinating when somebody at least claims there is a date certain to pay attention to. Whether it's true or not, we'll know really soon. Stop the war against Gaza, they said, by 3 p.m. local time Friday. That's tomorrow by most calendars, November 3rd, or Hezbollah will enter the war. And maybe that's what the Biden Fuhrer and those pulling his strings have been jonesing for anyway. But speculation is rampant that that means Iran may very well do so as well. Social media, he writes, is presently lighting up with claims that an attack order may be given when Hezbollah Secretary General Hassan Nasrallah gives a televised speech to the world, which is at least confirmed by multiple sources pretty much everywhere. And it, too, will be Friday. Ironically, and if you think there's a connection here, you're not alone, it'll also be just ahead of the opening of the U.S. financial markets. We'll follow that up with another entry from the Better Late Than Never files, but we do have to ask the question, is it really actually going to happen this time, or is it just another head fake? Newly inaugurated Speaker of the House, says Arsenio Toledo for Natural News, Mike Johnson, has decided, who could have thought it, to proceed with the long-delayed House impeachment proceedings against the fake president, senile quid pro Joe Biden. And he commented that it's, quote, very likely, do you think that he has committed impeachable offenses? Did Jack the Ripper commit murder? Oh, yeah, and some of us would say crimes, multiple, up to and including treason. In September, then-Speaker, now-disgraced Kevin McCarthy, launched the House's formal impeachment inquiry into the Biden Fuhrer, which, as you know, was intended to go nowhere. Although McCarthy did, at that point even, accuse the fake president of, quote, abuse of power, obstruction, and corruption, all of which, he said, warranted further investigation, and all of which the American people who've been paying attention said, duh, are you kidding? Why hasn't it happened already? Johnson, elected to the House of Representatives from Louisiana back in September, was allegedly one of the most outspoken when it came to the impeachment of the senile capo of the Biden crime family. At the time, he said, quote, I've just listed a small sampling, just the tip of the iceberg, of the credible allegations and the mounting evidence that shows that Joseph Biden has engaged in bribery schemes, pay-to-play schemes, he said, from the floor of the House. This is what the evidence shows. And notes the piece, as Speaker, Johnson has placed his, quote, full support for Representative Jim Jordan, who was unable to become Speaker of the House, but is still Chairman of the House Judiciary Committee and one of the individuals leading, if it ever happens, first an inquiry and hopefully a genuine impeachment. And by the way, folks, if this guy doesn't get impeached and convicted, we might as well just trash what's left of the Constitution, especially the part about high crimes and misdemeanors. Maybe the part about the Electoral College, too. And yeah, while we're at it, why not the rest of the Bill of Rights as well? I got a serious question at this point. Anybody else actually remember when the oath of office for a so-called president actually included to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution? And what was it? Oh, yeah. See that the law is faithfully executed? I guess that's as opposed to those who still care about it. Speaking of which, your host has noted a lot of evidence lately that there are more and more people beginning, finally, to wake up to the fact that that is precisely what's being done. To those who can read the Constitution, laws, understand a little bit of history, or even mathematics and economics. More and more of them are remembering that famous line from Howard Beale in the movie Network.
I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You know what's amazing, folks? That movie came out almost 50 years ago, actually 1976, and it's taken all of that time for Americans to finally figure out what it means. And sadly, most of them still haven't gotten it. But here at least is today's glimmer of hope. Notice I'm going to have to connect a couple of dots here. We'll start with a piece from the Daily Mail out of the UK. One more wake-up call for those with eyes to see. Toyota has now recalled the better part of 2 million, 1.85 million if you care, RAV4 electric EV SUVs over fire risks. Because, like Teslas and so many other EVs have demonstrated more times than most people care to think about, they might just spontaneously combust and take your house or anything else that happens to be in the near vicinity along with it. Oh yeah, and don't even ask about if it crashes, or maybe crashes and burns is apropos. Fire departments have learned if you put water on it, it only makes it worse. Better just stand back and make sure you keep the area clear and watch it go. Toyota says the piece is preparing the remedy, and they'll notify customers by late December of this year if you don't find out some other way first. Now, this one should be ironically humorous, but really it's not, because these things are being crammed down people's throats whether they like it or not. This piece also comes courtesy of Natural News, and it says that automakers, who could have thought it, are finally beginning to abandon plans to mass produce these fire-prone, and that's just one of the problems with them, folks. EVs, people are finally seeing reality, says the Toyota chairman. Maybe an exploding SUV in the garage will help, or just one that you can't drive anywhere in the winter or the summer because you can't run the heat or the air conditioner and still be assured you're going to make it home. The story begins this way. Major automotive companies are currently scrambling to respond to a shift in demand for battery-powered EVs, leaving the auto giants wondering if they pushed, or maybe somebody else pushed them to push, electric vehicles a bit too early. In recent months, it says, automaker giants, including Ford Motor Company and Toyota Motor Corporation, have all begun issuing warnings about a sudden slowdown in consumer demand for EVs. Who could have thought it? Compared to their Western counterparts, Japan's car manufacturing execs have been more vocal when it comes to pointing out the real challenges faced by EVs in the near term. Speaking in his capacity as head of the Japan Automobile Manufacturers Association, Toyota chairman Akio Toyoda said, people are finally seeing reality. And the article says that just maybe Toyota is enjoying his I told you so moment as EV sales momentum continues to lag behind, especially in the U.S. Primarily, says the piece. Now, here's where I'm going to have to connect a few dots, folks, or more importantly, put a few in that the story doesn't. And even sometimes Natural News succumbs a bit to political correctness. Anyway, they say it's primarily due to cost concerns, EV range, battery capacity, charge time, and the lack of charging infrastructure that poses challenges for drivers. Notice anything missing from that list? Oh yeah, exploding EVs is just one of them. How about the power grid itself? Look at California as a prime example. Simply doesn't have the capacity to charge the EVs that have already been crammed down people's throats. Never mind if more people succumb to the pressure and find out, huh, I can't charge this thing at all, especially not overnight. And oh, why is that they're sucking the juice out of my batteries instead of putting it back in? And guess what? For all of their prattling about posturing and political correctness, evil carbon footprints and creatures and green energy, the fact that a vehicle is electric doesn't mean that the power doesn't come from the very same sources that heat their home, if they were still allowed to, and cook their food, among other things. In other words, folks, if there is no electrical infrastructure to be able to run your house, then where the heck do you think the extra juice to charge that car is going to come from? There aren't even remotely enough solar panels and windmills to charge the EVs that have already been sold, much less the ones that are going to end up sitting in people's garages if they last that long. And by the way, if you think it's bad that when the batteries crap out, it's going to cost you more than a used, real good car used to just to replace that alone, a couple of years down the line, just wait until Americans realize what all of these things would cost if they weren't so heavily subsidized by, guess what, your tax dollars at work. Or maybe it's just newly printed money because there aren't enough tax dollars, as you already know, to even balance the budget, pay the interest, much less force EVs down your throat. And one last dot that they really don't want you to talk about, the real point of EVs is control. Because if you don't have juice, you don't get to go anywhere. And even if you did have juice, they're still going to know where you go, with whom you go, how far you go, and whether or not you're allowed to go. In July, says the Peace Ford, was the first to fold and abandon their 2026 target to build 2 million electric vehicles, according to Business Insider. And over the last couple of weeks, Ford has also temporarily, they say, cut a production shift at an F-150 Lightning EV pickup plant as demand for truck EV in particular has faltered, according to a memo from a UAW official. I guess you could ask what good's a pickup that you can't actually pick anything up with and go very far. And even GM has now said they would hold off production of all-electric trucks at their Orion assembly plant in suburban Detroit till at least late 2025 in order to better manage capital investments.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Here's one more from the Are Americans Really Finally Waking Up files, or maybe it's the chickens coming home to roost. It's a two-parter, both of them from the UK's Daily Mail. What a U-turn, says one of them. How the Democrat, I would say, far-left communist mayors of 5 sanctuary cities in the once-free United States, remember back when they welcomed migrants by the millions, are now begging Washington, D.C., the Biden Fuhrer, and the swamp for $5 billion or so to help paper over the mess they've made of their cesspools. But it says, and we'll talk more about this in just a second, Eric Adams has mysteriously skipped out on those talks and returned to the big rotten apple, while the openly communist dictators of the other cesspool cities outside of New York, including L.A., Denver, Chicago, and Houston, are all headed to the swamp. Eric Adams won't be there, but Karen Bass, Mike Johnston, Brandon Johnson, and Sylvester Turner, socialists all, are all demanding federal funds, what else, and work permits for the asylum seekers that have taken over their once arguably beautiful cities. Because, say it with me, folks, they're finally getting what they have been begging for, and they're getting it good and hard. Maybe the only ones really laughing at this point are George Soros and his puppet DAs. Before the crisis crippled their city, says the Daily Mail's coverage, think of the irony in this, the 5 mayors made welcoming migrants a central part of their political dogma. But in an abrupt U-turn, they said in their letter, quote, our cities need additional resources that far exceed the amount proposed in order to properly care for the asylum seekers. We're going to put our citizens in the dumper, but we'll put the invaders up at the Ritz-Carlton, at least until they meet up with their cells and decide to go do whatever it is that they've got planned next. And listen to this bit of crapola. Quote, relying on municipal budgets is not sustainable and has forced us to cut essential city services. Well, at least to those that didn't come in illegally across the border to commit, well, we'll no doubt keep finding that out. Meanwhile, as you may have noticed, New York's communist mayor, Eric Adams, seems to have had enough of the invasion, and he seems to have decided, maybe this wasn't such a great idea after all, and he made what may, in fact, end up being a fatal mistake. He started talking about it and suggesting that perhaps it was time to back off from the invasion and all the things that they've been trying to get but now have succeeded in accomplishing, and it looks like that isn't something that you're allowed to do if you're a far-left hog slurping at the trough. Because here's the related story. Federal bunglers of investigation. Remember them? They have raided the Brooklyn home of one Brianna Suggs, who turns out to be New York City's communist mayor, Eric Adams, fundraising chief. The agents, says the Daily Mail, were spotted at Brianna Suggs' home in Brooklyn on Thursday morning, and the New York Times reports that some of the agents present belong to the, ponder the irony here, folks, Public Corruption Unit. Now, they won't go after the Biden Fuhrer, but if you cross him, they might just come after you. Because I guess the point of the Public Corruption Unit is to slam the public corruption down your throat, and if necessary, punish those who dare to cross the system. Anyway, do you think we just might now have a clue as to why it is that Eric Adams missed that big meeting in the swamp? One of the pictures of the story has this caption, Adams was due to be in Washington, D.C. today to meet with officials about the city's migrant crisis. But when news of the raid emerged, he abruptly returned to NYC. Okay, one more from the Are Americans Really Waking Up files. This one, again, from the Daily Mail. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas is raising his eyebrows at the timing of the junk food giant Coca-Cola and their decision to wipe off, you heard this right, all of their pro-Black Lives Matter communist content from their website after some anti-Israel posts by the far-left group. Following the massacre of those 1,400 civilians in Israel, says the piece, at the hands of Hamas, the Chicago chapter of the Black Lives Matter and other folks don't posted a graphic of a paraglider that had the caption, "I Stand with Palestine." And on the Verdict podcast episode recently, the Texas senator called out Coca-Cola's brand Sprite for a $500,000 donation to BLM back in June 2020, which previously was showcased on the company's public website, but now seems to have been deep-sixed. Caught red-handed, says Cruz, Coca-Cola has finally decided to delete its support for BLM. But, he added, editing your website is just not enough. Next, we turn to the continuing terror front and how it's being used to disarm the American people by those who want them disarmed and ultimately destroyed prior to the real terror that's coming real soon, arguably to a theater near you. And we'll begin with the continuing saga of the never-ending mass of lone gunman false flags that are designed and executed, pun intended, in order to convince Americans that, hey, those guns can't do you any good anyway. Better just turn them in before we have to kill you and take them from your cold, dead fingers. This piece comes from Kevin Downey via PJ Media, also Zero Hedge, and it notes up front that most news articles about the animal in Lewiston, Maine, who shot 31 people, killing 18 of them, focus specifically on the shooter's skin color, or lack thereof, and his booga, booga, booga dreaded AR-15 black assault-style rifle, or so they say. The media seem to have missed that 10 mass shootings have taken place in the just 3.5 days, at the time this piece was written, since the latest Maine false flag gun-free killing zone massacre. And Factorama says here, a mass shooting is defined as 4 or more people shot, not including the shooter, who, whenever it's convenient, ultimately ends up committing arsonicide. And did you notice? I mentioned it, but I don't think it got much play, because it didn't stay up there very long. The Daily Mail actually had a piece after the shooter was found dead, saying that he had 2 bullet holes in the head. Huh? Yeah, that's what an arsonicide really is, folks. But this time, because people seem to be waking up to it, that one didn't last long. But Lewiston stands out, says the piece, because of the unusually high body count, and also the fact that the shooter escaped and was at large for a while before, allegedly anyway, police found his body. Every news source from Maine to New York kept readers glued to their sites with stories that how the shooter may next come to you. But one thing you're not allowed to do, right? Get yourself a rifle and defend your family. They rightfully called it fear porn. Then it goes on to say that legendary jackpudding Joy Behar from The View doesn't seem to know the difference between an AR-15 and a bazooka. She's paid millions of bucks a year to lie to the wine box mommies who believe her cod swallop. And she said the following. I think she's channeling the Biden-Fuhrer before he completely lost what was left of his brain. If you shoot with an AR-15, let's say you shoot a deer, you can't eat it because you basically demolish the animal. Unquote. And that's the author. Who wants to tell her? Suggest your host. You know darn well. Facts don't matter anyway.
Do you realize the bullet out of an AR-15 travels 5 times as rapidly as a bullet shot out of any other gun?
Did you realize that the lies that come out of this idiot's mouth are 5 times as stupid as anything ever said before by anybody pretending to be president? And folks, the point is, they just keep recycling this crap, and every time around, they pull the same thing, and they get the same result, and guess what? That means they're going to keep doing it. Until, that is, they can completely disarm everybody that they haven't yet killed with some other mechanism, like, say, the Zyklon B injection, if you were gullible enough to believe them then on that. Well, the point that author Kevin Downey Jr. is making here is that there are a whole lot of other mass shootings that don't serve a political purpose, and therefore the waste stream and the regime doesn't really care if you hear about them or not. Matter of fact, they'd prefer you didn't because it dilutes the official narrative. He goes through 10 of them that have just happened in the last few days that you didn't hear about since the hyped-up shooting in Lewiston, Maine. And as I go through a few of these, at least, it'll be clear, I think, why. Oh, by the way, there's one other thing you're also not going to hear about, and that, of course, is that this fellow was in a mental institution over this past summer. You can almost guarantee, can't you, that he was on some form or another of SSRI or perhaps other MK-Ultra mind-control drug, and almost every mass murder, and they're not even limited to gun crimes, folks, almost always is. He was well known to the powers that be, the FBI and the other three-letter agencies. If I was looking for a patsy, wouldn't that be the first place you'd go to select one? Especially if you knew you could inject him with anything and get them to do probably whatever it was that the CIA's been working on for so many years and then get away with it? How better? Oh, yeah, and did you hear all of those stories about his very special hearing aids? That he kept hearing voices telling him what to do? Huh. Yeah, everything about this, as I've gotten more and more used to saying, stinks to high heaven. But let's return to the theme of 10 other shootings that you're not going to hear about. Starting with where else, the gun control capital and murder capital of the central part of the United States, at least. There are other gun control capitals. Two of them took place in Chicago, leaving 19 people ventilated, 15 in just one shooting that only involved a handgun, not a dreaded AR-15. Indianapolis was home to a shooting that left one dead, eight injured. The bloodiest shooting since Maine erupted when two groups of maniacs decided to shoot it out during Halloween festivities in a Tampa area bar district. Video shows two men with handguns, but imagine this, folks, not an AR-15 or a MAGA hat to be seen. At least one of the shooters was not a domestic violent extremist characterized as a white male, and that's another reason you didn't hear about this one. There's a video online of a number of people that were shot in the Ybor City neighborhood of Tampa, Florida. 27 shots fired. Five people were shot to death, including a 73-year-old male in Clinton, North Carolina, at a residence known for selling dope. Six people were shot at a party in the back of a business at Texarkana, Texas, when there was a fist fight, followed by at least a couple of men who pulled out rifles and started shooting. Wait a minute, did you hear that? They had concealed rifles, but they weren't even AR-15s? Four more at a shoot-em-up party in, where else, Chicago. Six teens were shot at parties in both Lake Charles, Louisiana and Mansfield, Ohio. Not all of them died. And in total, 35 people were shot, four killed, in the gun-free killing zone of Chicago just this last weekend. And, says the author, there were at least two more mass shootings since he began writing the story. But, he says in conclusion, it seems like we've learned that the press is pretty picky about the mass shootings that they decide to not only report, but sensationalize and use as a reason to beat you over the head with what's going to be your own club once they take away your ammunition, too. And I'll point out one other thing at this juncture. It has literally been years since that mass shooting by that lone gunman, or so we've been told, in Las Vegas, that was said to have used one of those now-banned bump stocks. Anybody that knew anything about firearms saw through that one for a whole bunch of reasons, none of which were pointed out by the press, much less the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Turns out it really was not only one, but more than one full-auto machine gun, which most Americans have been prohibited by Big Brother, in violation of the Second Amendment, from possessing for decades anyway. And notice, let me say it again, you still haven't heard a word about the truth of what actually happened there, other than via the alternative press. And don't hold your breath waiting for any of those videos that the FBI confiscated from nearby hotels of the other, not quite so lone gunman, all of which seem to poke major holes in the bogus but still official narrative. And that, folks, leads me to a couple other really stinky elements of the evidently false flag mass shooting there in Lewiston, Maine. Says author Vox Day, apparently we're supposed to believe that these messages posted to Discord are the new virtual manifesto of the, as he puts it, latest wind-up toy therapized into shooting complete strangers for the purpose of pushing unconstitutional and ultimately downright destructive gun control laws. Here are a whole bunch of them credited to Robert Card, like this one. Quote, I can't stand these damn non-whites ruining our country. They don't deserve to live. Let me read them the way I think they were generated. 11:25 p.m., just 2 minutes after that first one. Robert Card, I've had enough of this political correctness bullshit. It's time to take matters into my own hands. 2 minutes after that. I've been trained to kill, and I'm damned good at it. These people will pay for what they've done to our country. 3 minutes after that, it's time to make a statement. I'll show them what a true American is capable of. They won't know what hit them. 3 minutes after that, Robert Card. I've got my guns and plenty of ammo. Let's make America great again by getting rid of these scum. 4 minutes later still. I won't stop until every last one of them is gone. This is my duty as an American. 3 minutes later, still, they can't hide from me. I know their patterns, their hangouts. I'll hunt them down and take them out one by one. And I guess, folks, that's telling us what social media is for. Are you starting to get the picture here? The last one, only 20 minutes after the first one was uploaded to the web. No one will stop me. I have a mission, and I'll see it through until the end. God bless America. Says the actual human author here, of all the fictional dialogue that was ever written, this may actually be the most clearly fictional. It's not even AI-level fiction. It's so bad it would be funny if it wasn't so tragic. The funny thing, though, he says, is the way that the federal employee who wrote it couldn't even bring himself to use any of the printable slurs, much less any of the unprintable ones, and instead went with non-whites. And he had to use it twice. Back now to Kevin Downey Jr. for his conclusion. We've also learned, he says, that parties, the guns, and the nuts who want to use them, maybe it has something to do with Satanism and the surrounding so-called Holy Day associated directly with the demonic adversary itself. And let's not forget, writes Downey, depending upon the color of the victims and most especially the alleged shooter, especially if it's not a lone gunman, you may not hear anything about it at all. So with that, I'll encourage you. Be prayerful, be watchful, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.